Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Chav Ches. We are holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We are, today's shiur is sponsored by many people. Let's go through first anonymously Lizchus Refuah Shalema for Noach Ben Yuspa Devorah. He should have a Refuah Shalema Bikarov. Second by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also by Jerry Gross in honor of a dear cousin, Kalman Yukutil ben Miriam Perel, and also her of Aryeh Zev ben Edel, who are both battling the COVID-19 virus. And in the Zechus of the Davshir, they and Kol Chalei Am Yisrael should be Zochet to Refuah Shlema Bikarov Mamish. Also by Ben Lipschitz for the Zechus of his daughter-in-law, Aviva Shira Bas Avram Yeshaya, who's a doctor in the ICU at Maimonides Hospital in Borough Park, also sponsored anonymously by a listener in Detroit in appreciation for the Hasbara and spirit and lumdus of the Shir, and also by Amy and Donny Gross as a Zechus for Refuah Shlema for all sick people with or without coronavirus, and specifically the following individuals: Pinchas Elazar ben Leah, Gimple Mordechai Daniel ben Sarita, Shmuel Eliyo Chaim ben Ittel, Yisrael ben Devorah, and Eitan Moshe ben Hila Hinda. They should all be Zechus for Refuah Shlema. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is about to discuss why only a pishtan, that only a pishtan is considered a tree product that can actually be made into a wick and can become tameh even when it's used as an ohel. Every other tree product doesn't have those two halachos, really unrelated halachos, but the ability to use it as a wick for Ner Shabbos and some specific halacha relating to its ability to become tameh through Tumas Ohel. The Gemara is then going to discuss how we derive the din Ohel of Pishtan from the Mishkan, that the idea that it can become Tameh with Tumas Ohel is derived from the Mishkan, but the specifics of that derivation are a lengthy discussion in the Gemara. Then the Gemara is going to explain and answer the Shaila of whether Or Behema Tameya is subject to Tumas Ohel, meaning there's a Shaila whether Or Behema Tameya can become Tameh with Tumas Ohel. So we're going to raise the Shaila, explain the Shaila, and also try to be poshate that Shaila. Rava is going to have the Gemara in total with between Rava and one other Amora, four possible sources that a Behema Tameya is in fact Metame Ba'ohel, and that's going to bring us through the completion of Amud Aleph. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how we know that each part of our tefillin must be from a kosher animal, that the different parts of the tefillin, the batim and the ritzuos and the klapim and even the sinews that the tefillin are sewed with, that all the different parts of the tefillin have to be from a kosher animal. And then the Gemara is going to talk about whether the tachash that Moshe Rabbeinu used in the construction of the Mishkan was a kosher animal, and also whether it was a behema or whether it was a chaya. And then the last Mishnah on the daf toward the end of Amud Beis is going to discuss whether a folded but as of yet unsinged wick is tameh, and also whether it can be used for Shabbos candles. Again, two unrelated halachos, but both the halachos are mentioned because they're both related to the same metzius of an unsinged wick. Normally, you would singe the end of a wick to make it usable, to make it more easy to light. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Zayin on Beis. Kalayotzi min eitz in madlikim bo ela pishtan. Any eitz product cannot be made into a wick for Ner Shabbos because the fire won't catch onto it very well, except for Pishtan. That even though Pishtan has a din of eights, it's nevertheless kosher to be used for a wick for Shabbos candles. So once we mention the idea of Pishtan when it comes to how it's unique among eights products when it comes to a wick, so we mention another halacha as far as Pishtan is concerned. A little bit of background to this halacha: an ohel that a mace is inside of is the ohel itself can also become tameh from the mace. The Torah tells us as far as the Torah of Tumas Mace, v'hiza al ha'ohel v'al kol ha'kelim v'al ha'nefashos asher ha'yusham. So you see that the ohel itself also requires haza'ah, that an ohel is not only that which spreads the tumah to everything under it, but sometimes the ohel itself can also become tameh. So the Mishnah tells us, v'kol ha'yotzei min ha'etz, if the ohel is made out of eight, weights and then it's attached to the ground and there's a mace underneath it, Eino metame tumas olim. Typically, the oel itself does not become tame from the mace. The oel has the capacity to spread tumah to everything else that's underneath it, but typically it will not become tame ba'oel ha-mace. It will not become tame from the mace, ela pishtan, unless it's made out of pishtan. If it's made out of pishtan, then even the oel itself becomes tame. So first of all, says the Gemara, minalim de pishtan ikri eitz. We keep saying that eitz products have certain halachos, and pishtan is the exception. That implies that Pishtan itself is eitz. How do I know that Pishtan is called an eitz? Amar Mazutra Damar Kra, because the Pasuk says when Yeshua sent Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael prior to Klal Yisrael entering Eretz Yisrael, and the Meraglim were hidden in the house of Rachav Hazona, and she brought them to the rooftop to hide them because the local politicians heard that they were spies and they were very, they weren't too happy about it. So Vihi Alesa Magaga Vatitmene name Bipishtei Ha'etz. She hid them in the Pishtim that were still in their stalks, and you see that the Gevolei Pishtan, the stalks of Pishtan, are apparently called Eitz. And then the Mishnah had said Vayotzi Minetz Eitz Metami Tumas Olim El Pishtan, that the only Eitz product that's Metami Tumas Olim is Pishtan. So Minalan, how do I know this Klal? How do I know that that's correct? Amar Belozer Gamar Oel Oel Mi Mishkan. We derive a Gzereshava of the word Oel that appears by Mishkan and that appears over here by Tumas Ohel. Ksiv Hacha, it says by Tumas Ohel Zosatara Adam Kiyamos Ba'Ohel. Uksiv Hasam, and it says by Hakamas HaMishkan Moshe Rabbeinu, we erected the Mishkan, Vayifro says Ha'Ohel Ala Mishkan. So you see the term Ohel is used in both places, and therefore we make the following limud. Mala Halan Shal Pishtan Karay Ohel, just like by the Mishkan. If it, even though it's made out of Pishtan, it's called an Ohel, and nothing else that comes out of an Eitz is called an Ohel, because they didn't have any other eitz products in the production of the Mishkan. There was only Pishtan, because the Pasuk says by the Mishkan, Vesa Mishkan Tase Eser Yurios Sheish Mashzar Sa'afkan. So by Tumas Olim also, Shal Pishtan Karoi Oel, that the din, that the Oel itself becomes Tameh, is only true when it's made out of Pishtan. Ask the Gemara, if that's your drasha, Imalahalan, if you're going to learn the dinim of Tumas Oel from the din of Oel by the Mishkan, so then it should conform completely. It shouldn't just be this one halacha that only Pishtan becomes Tameh. Ima lalan shezurin v'chutan kafel shisha. The threads of the Mishkan were spun together and were twisted rather, and there were six strands in each thread. So should you say that Afkan, when it comes to Tumas Olam also, not only does it have to be Pishtan in order for it to be Mekabel Tumah, but it needs Shizurin v'chutan kafel shisha as well? That seems a little bit much. So Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says Ohel Ohel Riba. The pasuk says by the parsha of Tumas Meis Ohel twice. It says it several times, and therefore we use that as a riboy to teach us that as long as it's made out of pishtan, even if it's not shizurin v'chutan kafel shisha, it's still going to become tamei from the mace, even though it is an ohel. How do I know by the Mishkan that they required shazira and chutan kafel shisha? So shazira is a beferish apostle. The pasuk says mashzar. So we see that it has to. But how do I know chutan kafel shisha? So that we derive, the Gemara derives in Maseches Yuma from the word sheish that it says by bigdei kuhuna and in the Torah and it's an extra word that's used for a drasha, that anything that it says sheish is chutan kafel shisha. So the chuta pishtan that was in the Urios was also made out of six different strands. That's what Rashi points out over here. So ask the Gemara, e ol ol riba. Once you're going to tell me that there's a riboy, that there's more than you would have than you would have derived from the Mishkan, that's included in the dinim of Tumas Ohel, because after all, by the Mishkan, only that which is Shazurin v'chutan kafel shisha is included, and yet by Tumas Ohel we're more expansive. So once you're going to include more than what's included in the Mishkan, so afilu kol milinami, who's to limit us to only Pishtan? Maybe the din of Tumas Ohel should apply to things that are not Pishtan as well. Im kein gzeir shav mayahani le. So says Gemara, no, because their gzeir shav to link Mishkan to Tumah had to teach us some limitation on the dinim of Tumah, so it must have been teaching us that it's only Pishtan. Ve'ema, but maybe the gzeir shav should be taught, should be used to teach something else. That malahalan krashim, afkan krashim. Maybe we should expand the gzeru shavit to teach us that just like by the Mishkan, the boards of the Mishkan, the walls of the Mishkan are also called an ohel. So we should say by tumas ohelim as well, that the walls surrounding a mace are also an ohel a mace. So Amar Kras says, no, the pasuk says, vasisa krashim la Mishkan. They should make krashim for the Mishkan. Mishkan, kari Mishkan, vein krashim, kriya Mishkan. You don't make a Mishkan for a Mishkan, you make krashim for a Mishkan. It must be that the krashim themselves are not considered part of the Mishkan. Says Gemara, but by that logic, and the mayata, vasisa michsa la ohel. The pasuk says you should make a covering for the ohel. So achinami, are you going to be medayik from the word la ohel, that michsa lo ikri ohel, that the covering of the oros is not called an ohel, that it's only a covering on the ohel? So that would mean that an ohel made out of oros, made out of animal hides, is not tameh with tumas ohelim. Well, elahadabai Rabbi Elazar, or behema tameh, mayu sheyitma ba'ol ameis. Rabbi Elazar raised the shaila, is an or behema tameh, tameh with ohel ameis? Well, if you're going to derive from the Mishkan, that even the oros that they used by the Mishkan, which were an or behema tahora, do not have a din of an ohel ameis. So hasha or behema tahora lo mitame, doesn't have a din of tumas ohelim, because it's not called an ohel, it's only called a covering for the ohel. Or behema tameh, mibayi, so you're going to need to tell me that an or behema tameh is not tame with tumas ohel. Why would Rabbi Elazar even have a shaila about that? The fact that Rabbi Elazar even has a shaila about an or behema tameh must be that he assumes that or behema Torah is an ohel. Aye, but it says that they made the michseh la ohel. Doesn't that imply that it's not part of the ohel? So says Marno, shiny hasam tahadra hadre kra. That when it comes to the covering of oros, even though it says la ohel, which implies that it's not part of the ohel, it's in addition to the ohel, the pasuk then goes and includes it again as part of the ohel. Not a covering to the ohel, but part of the ohel. Dichsiv, because when it comes to the Avodas HaLevi'im at the time that they were traveling, the pasuk says, V'nasuas Yurios HaMishkan, V'es Ohel Moed, Michseyu U'michsey HaTachash Asher Olav. So we see from that pasuk, Makish El Yon Tachton, that we link the uppermost covering with the lowermost covering. The uppermost covering was made out of the oros, was made out of the animal hides. The lowermost covering was made out of the Yurios Izim. So Ma Tachton Karoi Ohel, just like the bottom covering was called an Ohel, because the pasuk calls it Ohel Moed. So Af El Yon Karoi Ohel. So too, the uppermost covering is also called an Ohel. The Yurios HaMishkan were the bottom covering. That was made from Pishton and Semer. The Oel Moed are the Urios Ha'izim that were on the Urios HaMishkan, and Mechseu Mechsei HaTachash are the Oros Ha'elim V'atchashim that were on top of the Urios Ha'izim. So the fact that we mention all of these coverings together teaches us that there's a hekish between the different coverings. So that's the limud from the Mishkan. So again, what we set out to do is to derive, how do I know that the klal that which is yotzi min ha'etz is not mitami tumas olam ella pishtan? And the short answer is from the Mishkan, that only by the Mishkan it was pishtan, and that's what's called ohel. So we see that the dinim of tumas ohel from a gzeirah shavah from the Mishkan, the dinim of tumas ohel also are limited to pishtan. It's not quite as limited as the dinim of the Mishkan. It doesn't need to be shezurim v'shitan v'chutan kafel shisha, but it is only when it comes to pishtan. It also does not include the walls as part of the ohel. Even by the Mishkan, the walls are walls of the ohel, but not defined as part of the ohel. So now says the Gemara, Gufa. We had raised this shaila. We had mentioned this shaila that Rabbi Elazar had asked. By Rabbi Elazar, or behema tamei amau shehi tamei tumas ohelin, is an or behema tamei tamei with tumas ohel. So maikami baile, what exactly was he mesupuk about? He himself explained that we derive gzeira shavah from Mishkan, that only those minim that are considered an ohel when it comes to Mishkan are considered an ohel when it comes to tumas ohelim. And the covering made out of animal hides was made from or behema tahora. So doesn't that answer Reb Lezer's own question that only the oros that are made from kosher animals become tameh with tumas ohel, because that's the only thing that was used for the Mishkan. His real shaila was about the nature of the animal whose hides they used to make the coverings of the Mishkan, and his shaila was tameh haya otar haya. Was that a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? If it was a kosher animal, then ein achinami. You see very clearly that tumas ohel only applies to kosher animal hides and not to non-kosher animal hides. But if it was a non-kosher animal, then you would see the opposite, that tumas ohel would apply to non-kosher animal hides. So I'm Rav Yosef, mighty bayulei. Why is this a suffix, whether the tachash was a kosher animal or not? Tanina, it's a beferish abraisa, lo huchshulim lach shmaim, elo or behima torah bilvad. If you want to use something from lach shmaim, it has to be from the hides of a kosher animal. So the arbehema tamea certainly would not be considered an ohel, because it could not have been used in the construction of the Mishkan. So Masav Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba asked from Baisa, how could you say that the tachash was a kosher animal? When it describes the Melech HaMishkan, it tells us, the Pasuk tells us, that Vasisa Michsala Oel Oros Elim Adamim Michsay Oros Tchashim Milamayla. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Darshins from this Pasuk, Shnei Michsaos Hayu, Echot Shal Oros Elim Adamim Ve'echot Shal Oros Tchashim, one made from the Oros of Elim Adamim and the other made from Oros Tchashim. But Rabbi Nechemia Omer Michsa Echot Haya, that it was one covering that was made out of two different materials, that was made out of a mixture, was half Oros Elim Adamim and half Oros Tchashim. V'doma, and here's the part, V'doma K'min Tla Ilan, that this Tachash, what kind of animal was it? It's very similar to a known animal called a Tla Ilan. A Tla Ilan is a non-kosher beast. It's a non-kosher chaya. So we're trying to explain, what did the Tachash look like? It looked just like a Tla Ilan. So that's the Gemara's whole raya from that line. V'Tla Ilan Tamehu. A Tla Ilan is a non-kosher animal. So how can you say that, how can Rabbi Lazar even raise a Shaila? Is the Tachash that Moshe Rabbeinu used a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? It should be obvious that it's a non-kosher animal, because the Braisa says that it's just like a Tla Ilan. The Chasam Sofer explains that the Gemara in its question is assuming that had it been a kosher animal, the Tana never would have compared it to a Tla Ilan, never would have even compared it to a non-kosher animal. This Chasam Sofer relates to the Gemara at the very beginning of Maseches Psachim, when it talks about speaking Belishna Ma'alya, Belishna Nakiya. So there were two Talmidim that Rav had, and neither of them apparently were very excited about the shir that Rav was giving. So one of them said that this shir is like a tired goat, and the other one said it's like a tired pig. And Rav got very upset. How could you call the one that called it a pig? How can you compare it to something that's Tameya? So apparently you see from there, says the Chasam Sofer, that you're not supposed to compare kosher things to non-kosher things. And that's why the Gemara is working with the assumption that we wouldn't compare the Tachash, if it were a kosher animal, to a non-kosher animal. So says Gemara, Hachi Kamer. No, Rabbi Nechemia is saying the following. Kimin tal ilan hu sheyesh b'gvanim harbe. The only reason we're using a non-kosher animal to compare it to is because it's the only other kind of animal that has so many different colors. And the Tachash we're trying to express was a very colorful animal. There are no other kosher animals that have so many colors. Velo tali ilan, but it's not an actual tali ilan. Diluhasam tame vahachatar. A tali ilan is in fact a non-kosher chaya, but the tachash itself was a kosher animal. So that's why Reb Lazar raises shaila whether or behema tamea is metame tumas oalin, because it could very well be that the tachash itself was a kosher animal. Amar of Yosef ihachi, if that's true, that the tachash was like a tali ilan in that it had many colors. Now we understand why the targum of the word tachash is sasgona. How does sasgona explain what it is? Shesas b'gvanim harbe, that it takes pride and is rejoices in its many colors that it has, because it's such a beautiful animal that has so many so many different colors. So the Tosar Rosh explains that that you see from the Targum that the entire comparison between the Tachash and the Tali Ilan is in that characteristic, that it had so many beautiful colors. The Chasam Sofer explains a little bit more elaborately that if the Tachash wore the Tali Ilan, if they were the same animal, then when writing a Targum on the word Tachash, you would say Tali Ilan. It would be the Aramaic word for Tachash. The fact that the Targum chose a different word, Sasgona, is telling us that that the Tachash is not the Tali Ilan. It's just describing a characteristic of the Tachash, which happens to be a characteristic that the Tali Ilan has as well. So Rav Yosef had said that the Tachash is a kosher animal, right? He had come to that conclusion that it must be a kosher animal, and it's only similar to a Tali Ilan in its skin. But now the Gemara is going to quote a Shita that disagrees, and four possible sources for the Shita that disagrees and thinks that it's a non-kosher animal. Rava Amar, and therefore, by the way, if it's a non-kosher animal, then Or Behema Temeah can also have Tumas Ohel, that whatever the Mishkan was made of is going to have the same, is going to be subject to the Dinim of Tumas Ohel as well. Rava Amar Or Behema Temeah Dimitame Bo'ola Meis Mehacha. How do I know that an Or Behema Temeah actually becomes Tame with Tumas Meis? We learn it from the following. The Tanya, the Brisa says, in the Parsha of Nige Begadim, of Tzara'as of Begadim, among those types of Begadim that can become Tame with Tzara'as, it says Or, and it says O Bi'or. So Riba Or Behema Temeah, the extra Beis teaches us that even an Or Behema Temeah, Shalaka Biyad Kohen, that becomes Tame with Negaim, and Vishalaka Biyad Kohen, rather, and it's also Marbe, if the Nega only appears on the beged when the Kohen is already examining it, when the Kohen already has it, even though that Nega did not appear previously. Kotzat Mikula, and the Brisa continues, if you take from all the minim that are mentioned in the Pasuk, it mentions all different types of textiles, Tzemer and Pishtan and other textiles, so if you cut a little bit from all of them, Vasa Achas Mehen, and you attach them together, and you make one Beged, Minayin, how do I know that that's also subject to Tumas Tzaras? Tamalomar, O b'chol melechas or. That's O b'chol melechas or, brings them all together. So we see that if by Negaim, an Or Behema Temeah is just like an Or Behema Torah that can have a Negat Sara'as, so too, when it comes to Tumas Oalim, the Or Behema Temeah is subject to Tumas Oalim, just like an Or Behema Torah is subject to Tumas Oalim. So that's limud number one for this din, that an Or Behema Temeah is subject to Tumas Oalim. Says the Gemara, but wait, v'ika lemifrach, I could ask a pircha on that din from Negaim. Mal Negaim, shekein shesive erev tamei ben. Even just the strands of the materials, even if they haven't been woven into a beged, are subject to Tumas Negaim. So you see that there's an extra chumrah by Tumas Negaim that does not exist by other areas of halacha. So how can you use Negaim as a basis for the dinim of Tumas Negaim as extra chumras? So based on that, the Gemara says, let's try a second limud. Ela gamar shrat mishratzim. We derive the din of Tumas Olim by Or Behema Temeah from the din of Tumas Shrat. Titania, the Brisa teaches when it comes to Tumas Shratzim that the Pasuk says when it describes what kind of garments can become Tame from a Sheretz, it describes Kol Kliyetz, O Beged, O Or, O Sak, so we darshan, or if it only would have said, Kol Kliyetz, O Beged, V Or, say in the El Or Behema Tahora, Or Behema Tameya Minayin, Tam Lomar, O Or. That's why it has an extra word, O, before the word or, to tell me different types of or are subject to Tumas Shratzim. So therefore, if it's subject to Tumas Shratzim, if Or Behema Temeah is subject to Tumas Shratzim, it should be subject to Tumas Oel as well. Says the Gemara, you can't use Shratzim as a model to derive other areas of Halacha. V'ika l'mifrach mala Shratzim shkei mitame b'kadasha. Shratzim are mitame even with a very tiny shear, even with an adasha size. And therefore, maybe that's why Or Behema Temeah is included in Tumas Shratzim, because Tumas Shratzim is very chomer dikatuma, but a mace that's only mitame with the sheer kezayis, maybe the Torah is similarly makil that Or Behema Temeah does not become tame as an oel to Tumas mace. So says Gemara, you're right. You cannot learn it directly from the din of Tumas Negaim, nor can you learn it directly from the din of Tumas Shratzim. But maybe you can take Tumas Negaim and Tumas Shratzim and say, well, look, if both of those types of tuma are apply to Or Behema Temeah, then Tumas oel should also apply to arbeimet tamea. Use the combination of the two. It's sada shave. So negayim yochichu. You can't learn it from shratzim because shratzim are metami bekadasha, but tumas negayim does not apply to a kadasha. Negayim doesn't have that same chumra. V'chazer adin, and then you can bounce back the limud between shratzim and negayim. Lo rizek rizeh, v'lo rizek rizeh. The chumra of negayim is different than the chumra of shratzim. The chumra of shratzim is different than the chumra of negayim. So it can't be that the chumra of metami bekadasha, nor the chumra of siva erev tame behen is what's goreim is what causes the idea that an arbeima tamea is subject to the tuma. But at sada shavish ben, what do shratim and negayim have in common? Sha'or tame behen va'asab arbeima tamea. That R is subject to its tuma, and that R includes R behema tamea. So afan yav yoel ameis shor tamebo. So in all ameis where R is subject to its tuma, I'll also say that nasabo R behema tamea kar behema Torah, that the tuma should apply to R behema tamea as well. So that's our third limud, not from negayim alone, nor from shratim alone, but from itzad shava between negayim and shratim. Says the Gemara, Amale Rava mi barnish le Rav Ashi. It's still not a good limud because both shratzim and negayim become tamei with less than a kazayis. Shratzim bika'adasha, as we pointed out, and negayim bikugris, which granted is much larger than an adasha, but it's still much smaller than a kazayis. So therefore, they both have a chumra that tumas mace does not have, and I can't use them as the basis for the limud that an arbeima tamea is subject to oel ameis. So says Gemara, a fourth and final limud. Ella amar Rava mi barnish. How do I know this din that an arbeima tamea is subject to tumas oel ameis? Sa asya bekal v'chomer mi notza shalizim. It's a kal v'chomer from goat wool, that just like a beged made out of notza shalizim, she'ein mitame b'negayim, mitame bo. Boel ameis is not subject to tumas negayim, but yet is subject to tumas oel ameis. How do I know it's subject to tumas oel ameis? Because tumas oel ameis is derived, we already established earlier in the shir, from Mishkan, and the ikar of the oel of the Mishkan was yirios izim. So I know that which is made from notza shel izim is going to be subject to oel ameis. So arbeim etameya shenitma b'negayim, the arbeim etameya, which is more chamer than notza shel izim, that it's even tamei with tumas negayim. Ain't no din shemitame ba'ol ameis. So kal v'chomer that it's going to be tame with tumas ol ameis, and that's our final answer. So just the big picture over here is that there was a broad machlokas whether an or behema tameya is subject to tumas ohel. Rav Yosef said no, because the tachash that we have to learn everything from the Mishkan, and the tachash that Moshe Rabbeinu used in making the Mishkan was a kosher animal. But Rav had said yes, that an or behema tameya is subject to tumas ohel, and it's just a matter of where he derived it from, and in the end of the day, he derived it from a kal v'chomer from notza shalizim, that it's not metame b'negayim, but is metame ba'ol ha-meis, so arbeim ha-tameya, which is metame b'negayim, for sure is metame ba'ol ha-meis. So now, the Gemara moves on to another topic that we mentioned in passing. We mentioned that only an Or Behema Tahora can be used for Melecha Shemayim. That if you want to do Melecha Shemayim, you got to use kosher products for Melecha Shemayim. So we explained that meant that the Tachash and the Mishkan must have been a kosher animal. Rav Yosef explained. So we learn from there that Or Behema Tahora is Tamei B'Tumas Olim, but Or Behema Tameya is not. But now Rav is telling us that Or Behema Tameya is also Metamei. So then what's that Brisa teaching us when it tells us that you got to use kosher products from Melech HaShemayim? If it's not telling us that the Tachash was kosher, so what's it telling me? What halacha is there that you need to use kosher products from Melech HaShemayim? So says Gemara, Ve'ela hadatani Rav Yosef lo hukshu b'mach shemayim el obrei matar b'lvad l'may hilchasav. It's not about the Tachash. What is it about? Says Gemara, l'tfilin. It's telling you that the parchment of your tefillin needs to be made from kosher animal hides. Says Gemara, tefillin. No, but there's a beferish, a pasuk by tefillin. The pasuk says, "Lamantia Torah Hashem b'ficha." So we darshin mina mutar b'ficha, that it has to be from a min that you're you're allowed to put into your mouth. So the parshiyos of tefillin are Torah Hashem, and therefore, whatever you're going to write the Torah Hashem on, whatever you can write the parshiyos of tefillin on, has to be something that you're allowed to eat, has to be a kosher animal. So I don't need a brisa to be mechadesh that din. It's a pasuk. So what is the brisa being mechadesh? Elo la'oran, telling us that the bottom of the tefillin, the or that's used to make the bottom of the tefillin, also need to come from a kosher animal. V'amar Abaye, shin shel tefillin halach l'moshe misinai. But wait a second, says Gemara, I know that one already also, because the batim have a shin, the bayis of the shel rosh has a shin embedded on the side of the bayis. So, and not only that, Rashi adds, when you tie the ritzua of the shel rosh, it makes a dalit in the back of the head. There are two different minhagim of how to do it, as a single dalit that looks like a dalit, or a double dalit that looks like a square. But there is that is a dalid in our knot in the back of our head, and the ritzu of the tefillin shel yad makes a little yud, and between the three of them, it's a shem Hashem. It's the shin on the bottom and the dalid on the back of the shel rosh and the yud on the shel yad. So it's a shem. It's a shem of a kodesh baruch hu. So if the letter shin from the shem Hashem is actually written into the bayis of the tefillin, so I already know from leman tiyah toras Hashem beficha that the bottom have to be from a kosher animal, because anything that has toras Hashem on it, Torah Hashem includes the shame of Hashem. So if it has Torah Hashem on it, so obviously it needs to be from a kosher animal. Rashi sounds like all three letters are Halach al-Moshe Misinai, that it's not only the shin. The Gemara says explicitly the shin shel tefillin is Halach al-Moshe Misinai. Rashi sounds like he understands that the Dalit and the Yud are also part of the Halach al-Moshe Misinai. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Shin disagrees. He changes the girsa a little bit, that only the shin is Halach al-Moshe Misinai. Tosos writes this way in Menachos as well, that the Dalit and the Yud are not real letters that are halacha l'moshe misinai. Rabbi Kiva Eger raises a question in the Gilya Nashas. He says it's only on the, if we're going to say that I don't need a brisa to tell me that the batim have to be made from kosher animals, because the batim already have lettering on it, they already have a shin on it, and that's and anything that has letters on it I could derive from the pasuk. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, only the bayis of the shel rosh has a letter on it. The bayis of the shel yad does not have a letter on it. Maybe the brisa is needed to tell me that the bayis of the shel yad has to be made from a kosher animal. So Sfasema says what you have to say is that minastam the or of the bottom of the shel rosh and the shel yad have the same din. And once I learn from Torah Hashem beficha that the bayis of the shel rosh has to be made from a kosher animal, mistama the bayis of the shel yad has to be made from a kosher animal. Seems like the kash is better than the teretz. So says Gemara, so what do I derive? What do I need the brisa for to teach that it has to be that which part of the tefillin is the brisa teaching me has to be made from a kosher animal? Ela lekorchan b'sa'aron uletofren begidon. That when you take the parshios, if you ever look at the parshios of your tefillin, they're wrapped in animal hair. That hair has to come from a kosher animal. And the stitching of the tefillin is done with gidim. Those gidim have to also come from a kosher animal. The gidim of kosher animals could be used for the stitching, and that's not derived from the mantia Torah Hashem, because there's no Torah Hashem. There's no wording on the stitching or on the wrapping. So that's why the brisa needs to be mechadesh that has to come from a kosher animal. Tosos raises the question: how could you say that the brisa is talking about the Sayer and the Gidim? What did the Brisa say? The Brisa said that lo huchshar l'mach shmaim elo or behema tahora bilvad. Or means hide, skin, leather. Or does not mean gidin and sa'aros. So how could we say that the whole the entire content of the brisa about or using an or of a kosher animal is only talking about the stitching with the gidim and the wrapping with the hair? So that's a good kasha that Tosos raises, and the achronim work hard on trying to come up with an answer, but it's a strong kasha. Okay, so now says the Gemara. So Hanami says, "Well, wait a second. Even the stitching and the wrapping of the parshios halach l'moshe misinaihu. That's also halach l'moshe misinai. Titanya tefillin merubaos halach l'moshe misinai. Nechrachos besarin v'nitfaros begidan. The fact that tefillin have to be perfectly square, and the fact that you have to use animal hair to wrap the parshios, and the fact that you need to use animal sinews to stitch the batim shut. All of those things are halacha l'Moshe Sinai. So I don't need a brisa to tell them to me. I already know it from halacha l'Moshe Sinai. So what is the brisa telling me? Ella l'ritzuos. The brisa is telling me that the ritzuos have to be from a kosher animal. Even though the ritzuos have the dalet and the yud of the Shem Hashem in them, and therefore l'chora, I could have said that the ritzuos are also learned from the pasuk of Mantia Torah Hashem Beficha. The Rishonim explained, the Ramban and the Rashba explained, that those osios are not really written in the ritzua. They're really just knots that are made to mimic or look somewhat like those osios, and therefore they're not really considered Torah Hashem. They're not really considered ksav of the Torah. However, Tosos uses this as a raya that the yud and the dalit of the ritzuos are not halacha l'Moshe Sinai. That only the shin is halacha l'Moshe Sinai. If the yud and the dalit were also part of the halacha l'Moshe Sinai, then we would not be able to say that the brisa is teaching me about the ritzuos. So says Mar, but wait, still, do I need a brisa to tell me about the ritzuos? V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, ritzuos shecharos halacha l'Moshe Sinai. The very idea that we have black ritzuos is halacha l'Moshe Sinai. So don't you see that all the dinim of the ritzuos, including the fact that it has to be a kosher animal, is halacha l'Moshe Sinai? Says Mar, no. Nihi de gemiri shecharos taharos mi gemiri. You only see from the halacha l'Moshe Sinai that the ritzuos need to be black. You do not see that they need to be from a kosher animal. That's what the Brisa is adding, that it also needs to be from a kosher animal. Now, it's interesting, halacha l'Moshe Sinai, the ritzuos need to be black. It doesn't seem to say in a Gemara anywhere that there's halacha l'Moshe Sinai that the batim need to be black. You know, intuitively, you would think the batim is more a part of the core tefillin, and of course it needs to be black. It's actually a three-way machlokas rishonim, whether the batim need to be black. Tosos Maseches Menachos and Daflam and Ayam and Aleph says batim could even be white, and you could even do it l'chachila, it sounds like. There's no reason that the batim have to be black. It doesn't say it anywhere. The Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Tefillin and the Rush in his Hilchos Tefillin hold that the batim don't need to be black l'alach l'Moshe Sinai, but it's a hiddur mitzvah, because in general it's a greater hiddur if everything is a uniform color, and if the ritzuos need to be black, so you should make the batim black. It's only Tosfos over here in Masechah Shabbos that holds that part of the halach l'Moshe Sinai is that the batim need to be black. Big nafkamina between the Rambam and Tosfos here in Masechah Shabbos is when, if your batim are not black and you're blackening them, you're putting paint on them, you're painting them, do you need to do that lishma? If it's part of the halach l'Moshe Sinai, yes. If it's just a hiddur mitzvah, so then probably it does not need to be done. Probably does not need to be done l'shma. Okay, says Gemara now, may havi alad de tachash ayi bimei Moshe. Let's talk a little bit more about the tachash that existed in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Was it a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? Amar Rabbi Lo, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Amar Rabbi Rameir, tachash ayi bimei Moshe, bria bifnei atzma haya, v'lo yichriya b'chacham imin chayahu imin behemahu. The chacham were never able to figure out whether it was a chaya or a behema. The keren achas ha'isala b'mitzcho. It only had one horn in its head. Lufi Shon is Damin Lo Moshe, and only appeared to Moshe when Moshe needed to construct the Mishkan, but it was not an animal that people ever saw beforehand. V'asim Imenu Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to make the covering of the Mishkan, and then V'nignas, and then the animal disappeared. No one ever saw it since. So Midkamer Karen Achas Haisalo B'mitzcho, from the fact that we said that it had one horn and it said Shema Mina Tar Haya, that must be a raya that it was a kosher animal. Why? Damar Rav Yehuda Shor Sheikra V'Adam Arishon Karen Achas Haisalo B'mitzcho. This isn't the only unusual creature that had one horn. Adam Arishon had a shor that had only one horn. Shenemar Vatita V'Hashem Mishor Por Makrin Mafris. Makrin is a lashon of a single keren. So you see that the bria that has one keren on its head is Adam Arishon was able to bring as a karban. So the tachash also had one keren on its head. Must have been a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, wait, the shor that Adam Arishon was makrin had one keren. Makrin tarti mashma. Where do you get from the word makrin that it had only one horn? It sounds much more like it had karnayim, that it had two horns. So Amram Nachum Bar Yitzchak makran ksiv. It's written as if it were chaser without a yud between the resha and the nun, and that makes it sound like it has only one horn. So now ask the Gemara, just like you, we resolved the issue about the shor that Adam Rishon was makriv. five, that it must have been a kosher animal, that the tachash is kosher. So we had another shaila about the tachash. Not only is it a kosher animal or not, but is it a chayo or a behema? So why don't we make the same comparison to the shor of Adam Rishon? V'lifshot minei de min behemahu. Let's learn from Adam Rishon that it was that the tachash was a min behema, because the shor that Adam Rishon was makruv was definitely a behema, because you're only allowed to bring behemos as karbanos on the mizbeach. You're not allowed to bring a chaya. So why does Rav Meir say that the Chum were unable to figure out if it's a behema or a chaya? So kivan diika keresh de min chayahu, since there is a bal chay that is called a keresh, which is a chaya and is a kosher chaya, v'lesay alechad karen, and it also only has only one horn, ika lememar min chayahu. So we don't know what this tachash was, meaning you want to compare it to other one-horned creatures. Problem is, there are two other one-horned creatures, and one of them is a behema, that was the one Adam Rishon had, and one of them is a chaya, that's a keresh. So we just don't know whether the tachash was more like the shor of Adam Rishon, or was it more like the keresh? And that's why we're stuck without a resolution, whether it was a min behema or a min chaya. Okay, we'll stop there at the Mishnah. Tomorrow is Shabbos, so there won't be a shir. But Be'ez Hashem, on Sunday, we'll pick up from some logical place to pick up. I guess the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis would be the logical place. Okay, take care, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.